Migration, Beginnings, by Walter Hopgood. Read by Gary Noon. Prologue. "Tell me, Mr. Makota," Gareth demanded, "what would your organization need with so many nuclear weapons?" Lately, it seemed as if terrorist organizations were a dime a dozen. They filled headlines, but rarely guided any meaningful long-term goals. Gareth Roderick had fought his first instinct, which was to have the two men standing in front of him killed. But there was something so intriguing about the request for weapons that Mr. Makota had made, as well as the broad scope of what he had indicated the use of the munitions would be. It was why he took the meeting. Gareth glanced up at his assistant, the barest hint of a headshake reassuring him, then turned his attention back to the strangers. As he clasped his hands together, he leaned forward and narrowed his eyes as he studied his guests. His family had always relied upon unrest to seize what they wanted, be it power or money, and the world had been entirely too peaceful as of late. "What business is it of yours?" the second man, Rustikoff, responded. The smallest of smiles began on Gareth's face. Before Gareth could speak, Makota raised a hand. He turned and glared at his companion, then whispered something in their shared tongue. Makota nodded his head, then turned back to Gareth. "My apologies, Mr. Roderick," Makota said. "My companion seems to have forgotten his place." Rustikoff's face turned to a dark shade of red. His whole body shook as what seemed to be vitriol sprouted from his mouth, all aimed at Gareth and his bodyguards. Gareth watched with slight amusement and pulled out a handkerchief to wipe away the few drops of spittle that had landed on his notebook. As he tucked his handkerchief back in his pocket, both Makota and Rustikoff's voices boomed throughout the room. Gareth opened his desk drawer. As the shouting came to a crescendo, he reached in and pulled out a revolver, which he placed in the front of the angry pair. Their attention suddenly focused on the weapon. "Mr. Makota," Gareth said, though his eyes stayed planted on Rustikoff. When he finally turned his attention to Makota, he smiled. "We have already agreed upon a price which I think is quite fair." Both Makota and Rustikoff nodded, though their eyes darted back to the revolver before they focused on Gareth once more. "Very well, then," Gareth said. "I just have two additional terms." Makota nodded. "And what would those be?" Gareth nodded to his bodyguard, who stepped toward the door. His cold eyes turned to Makota once again. "First, you will give my associates and me 24 hours to vacate the continent."
"Done."
Gareth rose from his chair and buttoned his suit jacket. He adjusted his cuffs and took a few steps toward the door.
"And what is the second term?" Makota asked.
Gareth turned back toward his desk. He picked up the revolver and handed it to Makota. "Please dispose of your companion." Makota and Rustikoff's yells shattered the silence, though Gareth ignored the scuffle. He snapped his fingers and let his assistant open the door. He walked through as the yelling continued, then waited until his assistant was once again at his side.
"Mr. Iago."
"Yes, Mr. Roderick?"
A shot rang out, and the voices behind them became quiet. Gareth smiled. He turned to his assistant.
"I hear Cairo is beautiful this time of year. Would you get my jet ready?"
Chapter 1. Rhys had slowly pushed away the cobwebs of sleep when he heard a loud thump from somewhere in the house. For the first time in months, he was letting himself sleep in, and he basked in the warmth of the light-down comforter and decadent cotton sheets that covered the bed and flowed past his long, muscular legs. Though his job had been demanding as of late, he had scheduled a week's vacation. He'd even decided to leave at lunchtime the day before vacation started, though that was more of Jason's idea than his. Rhys heard Jason, his partner, now husband, he considered with a smile, bounding up the stairs. And while he was not unhappy about his husband's intrusion into his sleep, he was not quite ready to leave the warm comfort of their bed. Even with his head still buried under the pillow, he heard first a stumbling at the threshold of the room, then the gentle swoosh of Jason's socks against the hardwood floors. A second later, the bed dipped as Jason sat down.
"Boo,"
Jason whispered. Reese felt a hand snake under the covers and connect with his shoulders.
"You gotta get up."
Reese dared to pop his head out from under the security of the pillow. He glanced up at Jason, who was a fuzzy shadow of gray, with a mop of dark bedhead hair at the top. But even though he was blurry, Reese could still make out his husband's smile, a smile that could brighten even the darkest moods it encountered.
"Come on, Reese, wake up."
Jason leaned into a ray of sunshine that spilled into the room as he retrieved Reese's glasses from the bedside stand.
"Here,"
Jason offered. Reese turned over onto his back and donned his glasses. He blinked the sleep away a few times before he focused and smiled at Jason's disheveled look. Jason's emerald green eyes gazed back at him, the same beautiful green eyes that Reese had once compared, out loud, to the color of the leaves of the mighty birch tree. You know, just before the autumn sets in with beautiful deep greens and flecks of brown and gold. Jason knew the birch was Reese's favorite tree and took it as the high compliment it was intended. Reese yawned and memories of the previous day flooded his mind. The two of them running into the Multnomah County Courthouse just before closing time, not knowing county offices closed early on Fridays, offering a wad of cash to the tired-looking clerk as they asked to be squeezed in before the office closed for the weekend. All because they finally could. Reese leaned up and grabbed a kiss, trying not to exhale due to morning breath, then eased back onto his pillow with his arms tucked under his head.
"Good morning," he said.
"Mom called," Jason said as he reached out, nimble fingers tangling with his own. Reese gave Jason a questioning look, so Jason clarified.
"My mom called. I spilled the beans, though it wasn't really a secret, especially after you posted it on Facebook last night."
He winked at Reese.
"Well, we were going to have to tell them anyway," Reese said with a yawn. "Might as well have gotten it over with."
He reached up and scrubbed his face.
"How did it go?"
Jason shook his head.
"Actually, better than I thought it would. She's still mad they weren't here to at least witness it and take us out to dinner to celebrate. Hell, you know my mom. She's probably been planning our wedding for years."
Reese grinned.
"Dinner?
You mean to take us and half the population of Portland out to celebrate?" Jason's parents lived to lavish attention on family and friends. His father had been one of the founding members of a gigantic software conglomerate and had retired early. He had cashed out his stock options and bid the business world adieu, exchanging it for a life of leisure and philanthropy with his wife and two children. When Jason had brought Reese home to meet the family for the first time, he had been welcomed with opened arms.
"Yeah, well, since they couldn't be here, they got us a present."
Reese cocked his head and gave Jason a curious look. Jason's grin never left his face. 2 first-class tickets are waiting for us at the airport. We have a private bungalow at some fancy-schmancy resort." His voice sounded modeled after a game show host when he finally announced,
"Maui!"
"Maui?" Reese asked as he leaned into a stretch, though not too much. Deep stretches had the unfortunate side effect of making an old injury twinge. He smiled, knowing he should have been more surprised. But life with Jason and his extravagant family had brought him more surprises than he could remember. Jason's parents did everything to spoil their children, while still managing to keep their feet firmly planted in reality. "But I thought we were going to stay home next week and just veg," he asked. Even as the words slipped from his mouth, his inner monologue told him that train of thought was quite stupid. He wasn't really complaining about going on vacation to an island paradise.
"You know my family. Go big or go home," Jason said.
"So get up and pack a bag and I'll cook you some breakfast. Plain leaves in 3 hours."
Reese was out of bed before his mind could catch up. 3 hours. He untangled himself from the sheets, secretly happy that he wasn't as klutzy as his husband, or he would have surely face-planted into the floorboards for sure. Are you serious? He dashed toward the walk-in closet, but the sudden movement caused his side to spasm. He couldn't help it when he reached down and covered it with his palm. You okay? Jason asked.